about.
Guys! Men! We're doing this.
Doing what?
Boarding the starship, starting this new adventure together.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's actually very deep. It has deep meaning to it. I think somewhere along my ancestral line, I have a little bit of black in me.
Here's Cal Worthington at his dog spot.
If you're late and short of cash, pussy cow. Trouble's over in a flash, pussy cow.
The down payment he'll arrange. Get a 10-day trial exchange. Go see cow, go see cow, go see cow.
All right, boneheads, you're back with the Z-Man. And coming up, we've got a classic track from Aerosmith, followed by a Tuesday twofer from the Doobie Brothers, on the station that always gives you more rock, less talk.
And now,
if you don't believe in love at first sight, let me reintroduce myself.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 4th of March. I want to address this bizarre photo that keeps going around that people keep reposting thinking that it's cute. Isn't this cute, the weasel riding the woodpecker? Isn't this sweet?
I'm trying to never mind. Adorable. Oh.
It's so cute. And look at this. It's right. The woodpecker's giving him a ride.
You don't find it cute?
They're the woodpecker is 2 seconds from death. This is a death flight.
How do you find that to be
the
true?
The weasel is going to kill the woodpecker.
I believe he's just hitching a ride.
You do?
Yep.
That they're friends and he just said, I'd like a little help?
It's like his Uber.
How about a Lyft?
This is the first time anyone's taken a picture of it, but this actually happens all the time in those communities.
There's a woodpecker that's flying and it has a weasel that's totally tiny. I always pictured weasels bigger, but on its back, and it does look cute. But if you look up any of the explanation around it, it's how he kills the bird.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really that cute as much as it is the last seconds on Earth for the woodpecker.
Still cute.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that.
It's Darwinism. Watching Darwinism happen in flight. I think that's a beautiful thing.
They caught it in a cute moment.
Yes.
Good.
I like that he actually has, like, reins, like he's on
a
horse.
He's sort of holding on to him yes. So that he can, like, lean left or right.
And really, if that woodpecker wanted to, he could flip him upside down.
I don't see that being the case.
I do.
Because I think Weasel's in charge. I think Weasel wins.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, all right. Look up any of the stories around it, and you'll go, oh, that's more like a harsh reality than it is a cute little ride.
So you spent some time yesterday Googling who will win this death match.
Well, I didn't really – you don't really have to spend any time doing that because it's
– just one
That's
search.
Pretty much the given is yeah. that it's – this is Weasel 1 and Woodpecker 0. That's how this ends.
But you know who wins? We all do.
Because
seeing
of the
that
cute
picture.
Yeah.
It's science.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? One of our favorite guests, Vince Vaughn. Love that guy so much. He's so incredibly quick and funny.
He's a sharp, sharp man.
We had him on, I don't know, 15 years ago. And Bean gave him one of his backhanded compliments where mm-hmm. he said, you know, something like, not all your movies have been good, but I think you're good. You know, some kind of backhanded comment.
Right.
And he stopped the interview and he said, who hurt you? And maybe for 10 or 15 minutes, just grilled Bean, just was on him.
Love it.
Who hurt you? Were you touched? What happened? Did you get beat up as a kid? We've been saying who hurt you ever since.
He started Who
the
Hurt
You? The godfather
of
Who Hurt You.
I love it.
Vince Vaughn comes in today. He's got a new movie called Unfinished Business, which is very funny. We also have Brad Williams, comedian, who is part of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which we will be giving away tickets to today as well. We have a new episode of Would You Like to Take That Back? We try to make jokes. We try to make them all funny. They're not. So every once in a while, we have to play back some audio from previous shows and just give each other a chance to say, you know what? Looking back, in retrospect, that didn't come out quite as well as I had hoped. And we're going to tell you about a new app for people who like torture. Yeah. There's an app for that. So we'll do that coming up as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
I don't know if you saw this report yesterday, but Mumford & Sons coming out with new music. And they actually mentioned less banjo. We're gonna use less banjo.
Specifically. Kevin, we're going to use less banjo.
They mentioned it, but I know that the teaser photos of them recording and working on the video said that there was not a banjo to be seen.
Kevin is bowing like somehow you...
I win.
You did this.
I did. I win. Banjos suck.
Tell
Nobody
Kermit.
Needs banjos.
All the other tracks have banjos on them. Just so you can go...
But I thought... 5:56, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Sylvester Stallone reportedly got mixed up in a little brawl on the set of his new movie, Creed. This is the rumor, anyway, that a fighter named Tony Ballou, who is playing one of the fighters in the film, he's a real fighter, dove out of the ring and started wailing on the guy who was playing his coach in this one scene, apparently. And Sylvester Stallone and some other guys had to break the fight up, and everything got physical, and they fought and stuff. People who are representing the film say things never got physical. However, insiders say it absolutely happened. And Sly was right in the middle of it, breaking people up, throwing people around. You want to fight the fight? I'll fight the big fight. You guys are mentally irregular. Sly said he can still handle himself at 68.
Yeah, you think he can?
I think he can. I think if anybody can, he can.
He looks like he's in pretty good shape for 68.
Do you think?
Yeah.
He's in pretty good shape for 40.
Yeah, but I don't know if these other guys are, 28 or whatever, what age they are or how strong they are. But
well, we're talking about movies. This sounds like a scene right out of a movie. It's awesome. Armored truck broke down on I-95 in North Carolina and got robbed. Three armed men in a white van pulled up, ordered the men to the ground where they tied them up and walked them into the nearby woods. Then they loaded $4 million in gold bars into their van and vanished.
Wow. How do you move that?
Right? I was going to say, you can't just go to 7-Eleven and buy stuff.
You can buy a Slurpee with a gold bar. You can.
I did not know that.
Wow.
In North Carolina?
I don't have a change for a 20-pound bar. I guess you got to melt it down, right?
I guess. I don't know.
But then what?
Damn, I didn't think this out before I stole all that gold.
That is straight out of a movie, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. ABC is doing Uncle Buck, the TV show. Remember Uncle Buck, the John Candy movie?
Sure.
1989. The twist here is it's going to be an all-African-American reboot of Uncle Buck. Mike Epps will take on the role of Buck Russell. And as in the movie, Buck's sort of a childish man who learns how to grow up by taking care of his brother's kids. And everyone learns important lessons about life and love. No! Coming to ABC.
Is there a bear?
No bears. Right. Meanwhile, CBS is putting together a TV show based on Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker's movie, Rush Hour.
Thank God.
Yes, Rush Hour, the TV series. John Fu will be taking over the Detective Lee role that was played by Jackie Chan in the film. No word yet on who will take over the Chris Tucker role. But John Fu, coming to TV.
All right.
Who's John Fu? And Robert Herjavec. Herjavec.
Oh, Herjavec does good work.
He's from Shark Tank.
Right.
He's going to be Dancing with the Stars. He's going to be partnered with the lovely Kim Johnson on that show. Is it a coincidence that he has just announced he is separating from his wife after 25 years of marriage?
Mm.
You know what they say about dancing together?
What?
Makes you bone.
Wow.
They say it just like that?
Yep. Makes you bone.
Makes you bone.
So he's divorcing his wife of 25 years. They have two daughters and a son. And he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars with Kim Johnson. So.
I was thinking about that the other day when you announced who's going to be on the show. And I was just thinking, those professional dancers must just sit in around a room and go, who do I have?
What?
What?
Oh, no.
Okay. Or they're excited based on who it is. But for the most part, they probably have to Google them.
Plus the boning.
They have to do all that boning, too. They all hope they don't get vanilla ice, they don't get stabbed.
That's true.
They don't have to run around with a knife.
You don't want that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Catherine O'Hara, one of my favorites.
Brilliant.
From SCTV to Home Alone to all the Chris Guest movies she's been in. 61 years old today, Patricia Heaton. She was Ray's wife on Everybody Loves Raymond. Now she's in the middle, I want to say.
I think so.
She's 57. Michael T. Williamson is 55. Actor Steven Weber is 54. Evan Dando, singer for the Lemonheads.
Yay.
He's 48 years old.
Shame about Ray.
And former LA Galaxy player Landon Donovan. Oh, Landy. Kevin's boyfriend is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we got comedian Brad Williams, who, of course, is going to be on April Foolishness. And we have Vince Vaughn coming in a little later on this morning, who we love, talking about his movie Unfinished Business. Let's talk new apps. There's a new app for everything. And it seems like first a general one comes out, and then they start getting a little bit more specific. So you got Tinder, and you got Grindr, and you got OkCupid, and you got a thousand different ways to get in touch with other people.
Scruff.
And now you have Whippler. Whippler. It's Tinder for the fetish-driven.
Yeah. You get into specifics. Objects, clothing, really some creepy stuff.
Yeah. You could also put your sexuality on a sliding scale. So you could say, I'm 75% into women, 25% into men. I'm the other way around. And, you know, I like to be choked. You know, stuff like that. And then it'll show you other people in the area, and you can hook up and you can beat each other up. So that seems fun.
Glad you said beat each other
up. I mean, to have sex. That's what I meant.
I got it.
We have, I believe we have the creator on the line. We have Peter Shekel. Is that your name, Pete? Is that your last name?
My name is Peter Shekel.
Shekel. Sorry.
Shekel.
My bad.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. Wow.
Yes, I bet you are good.
Wow.
Is that a whip, Peter?
Maybe. Would that excite you if it was?
Well, on a sliding scale, I'm not sure.
I'd like to slide on your scale,
okay.
Young lady.
Wow.
Wow.
And by scale, I mean...
We know.
Not sure what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us about Whippler. How did you come up with the idea?
Well, my sexual tastes go beyond the vanilla, as we could say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a hard time finding dates online. I'd go to, like, eHarmony, and I'd say, do you want a glass table? And suddenly women would not want to be interested in talking to me anymore.
Weird.
Can you imagine?
No.
I can't.
Why is it so uptight?
I don't know.
You have to go anyway.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Why waste it? Hello? Is this
on?
Oh,
it's on, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I thought, what if there was a dating app for people whose sexual proclivities perhaps are a little bit more unique?
So you can actually narrow it down to either behavior, fashion, objects, that kind of thing. What tends to be the most popular?
Well, I think objects. People like objects.
Mm-hmm.
I like objects.
Right.
So if you like... You know, if you're dating a girl and you look on her objects page and it says fire hydrant, maybe you're with the wrong girl.
Fire hydrant. I don't know what that is. I'm going to have to write that. Do I want to look that up?
No, she just likes fire hydrants.
Okay, all right.
She likes to do deep knee bends on fire hydrants.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Jeez, do I have to draw your picture?
Sometimes, unfortunately, yes.
Yes.
What?
Brenda, I'm on the phone. That's my brother.
What? That was your brother?
You have more questions, I'm sure. You sound like a pegger to me, Kevin. Are you a pegger?
I saw that, too.
You like pegging? You like pegging.
I'm not a pegger. I don't...
I'm getting pegger from you.
I'm
getting definitely a peggy kind of feeling.
I'm not a pegger. No.
I just Googled that. Wow.
I bet Kevin likes a good peg once in a while.
Look, I don't really, but that's okay. If people...
I'm calling you Agent Peggy Carter.
But I'm not into that. Don't you let me...
Have you ever tried it?
Well, no.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what Whippler is for.
To try things that you've never
tried. Go on there and you meet new people and try new experiences.
Right.
Like, did I mention pegging?
You did. And maybe uncomfortable a lot.
And breath play, that's fun.
Breath play, so you're choking each other.
Or, you know, just waterboarding or... covering your head with a dry cleaner bag, whatever it takes, you know?
Well, that seems more like suicide than sex.
Doesn't sound safe.
It's not suicide if you don't die.
Okay.
At least stop it before you're dead. You'd some most of the time.
Most of the time. How many people do you... What the... What's happening?
That's my brother, Bill.
Your Bill screams a lot like a woman.
Well, you would too if you got pegged.
Oh, that was pegging?
I was pegging.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let the listeners look up pegging and have a great time. Thank
Can't
you for...
fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Don't forget, by the way, Friday at noon is when your tickets go on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. It's going to be Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine. Great, great lineup again this year. And we should mention, if you want to party with Kevin and Bean, I don't know why you would, but if you want to, we are having a pre-show cocktail party, and we're also going to give you VIP parking and tickets up close and a party bus t-shirt if you buy your tickets in the party bus section. That's the up close and personal right there at the front foot of the stage at the Shrine. And then I think those tickets are $99. I think that's the top price again this year. I think the tickets are as cheap as $25, though, you guys,
that's
to see
correct.
This show. $25 to see the D. Come on.
And if you sit in the party bus section close to the stage, there's an excellent chance Bean may fall on you.
Oh, that's true.
So you got that going
it's
for
very
you,
true. Yes, I do need sturdy people near the front of the stage because I may need somebody to catch me as I topple
sturdy.
Off the stage. Anyway, get all the details at KRock.com. Don't forget, tickets go on sale Friday at noon. It is time for...
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
That is the most infectious of all the Kevin and Bean jingles. Thanks a lot, Ralph Garman.
You're welcome.
Allie McKay, have you ever heard Would You Like to Take That Back?
I have indeed. I've enjoyed it and can't wait to never be a part of it.
You're going to be a part of it any day now. Nope. You'll be a part.
This is where we maybe re-examine some of the things that we said on the radio in months past and we get an opportunity to kind of clear the record straight, to go back and do a little corrective work on some of the things that we say. And I guess sometimes I'm in it.
No, not you.
Well, it does start with you, but let's not jump to any conclusions. Okay. Bean is first. Ralph is doing a story about Bruce Jenner and his, his TV show and the sex change, the whole thing.
This makes me happy. You know, Bruce Jenner is doing this docuseries about his change, his transgender process, his journey from man to woman.
Yeah. Transgender.
Wow.
Would you like to take that back?
Why would I take that back? It needs some sort of a catchy show business name, doesn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't take that back. If I
Trans Jenner! Oh,
that is so good.
Sweet.
I would just like to point out that zero people laughed, though.
That is true.
It zero over people. As there well in the room as I hoped.
In the room? What about the county of Los Angeles, though?
It was death. So you're sticking with it.
Would you like to take that back?
You know, Kevin is right. If I'm just basing it on the reaction from the audience, it didn't go over that well. Now you've got me second thinking. But I've got
a Pavlovian response to Bean when he does those things. Like, I'm predisposed not to laugh. I'm just guessing it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
But on second blush, as I hear it again, it's actually really well done.
I'm gonna hang on to it. Wow. With Ralph's endorsement, I will not take that back.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think it's strong.
Dave, the King of Mexico.
Guilty.
Aww. Is next. We were talking about the Owl Cafes.
Over 25,000 people have already signed up for an opportunity to go to the Owl Cafe.
Is there just one owl?
No, there are multiple birds. It says here several beautiful birds have been confirmed for the event, including Darwin, who can rotate his head 270 degrees and eat up to 1,000 mice per year. His name is Darwin.
Who? See, Dave's doing it.
Dave's doing it.
Put that in the file.
Come on! How did Dave have owl comedy already?
Dave.
Would you like to take that back?
You guys, you're going to be surprised when I say this. But hell no, I'm not going to take that back. That was awesome.
On.
That was comedic genius right there.
Slow down.
I am the Kanye of Cal comedy. Comedy.
Yeah.
I'll take that back.
You're the Dick Clark of Cal comedy. Cal comedy.
Cal comedy. Give this son of a bitch's green
card. That's a good question.
Right?
All right, so you're saying no, you're fine with it.
No, I love it.
I'm red.
We're back to Bean. I know that's a surprise, but we're back to Bean. Ralph was talking about, I think it was two episodes on Gotham, when Jada Pinkett Smith's character takes her own eye out. And this is from that conversation.
That was intense. They're up in their game over there in Gotham.
No kidding. Spooned it out and then stepped on it.
People may have turned up the radio by now, Kevin.
Oh, sorry.
taught that.
Well,
by a lesson.
She did. And you try to give this to some rich person. Boom.
At any point did
Nobody.
She say, what do you want me to do, spoon you to death? I think we have an all bean
file callback.
I got to blow the dust off of that callback. Oh, I just got a news report here. The last person who knew what that meant died last week.
Oh, that's a shame. That was a callback from about 5 years ago, wasn't
five?
It?
You wish five. Try 10. Would you like to take that back?
I have never regretted anything more.
Yes!
Yeah, that was completely uncalled for.
How about that? Bean took something back.
I take about half of them back, by the way.
All right. Would you like to take that back? Who's next? Oh, Bean.
What?
It all happened last night. Suge ran over and killed Terry Carter on Thursday in the parking lot of a burger joint in Compton, allegedly.
Suge Knight.
However, that was an accident because he was trying to run over another guy named,
good defense.
Named Clee Bone Sloan, but he hit Terry Carter by accident. So that's why he got the murder, but he also got attempted premeditated murder because he was gunning for Bone Sloan when it ended up running over Terry Carter instead.
So murder was the case that they gave him. In the words of the great Death Row hit record by Snoop Dogg. Come on, that fits.
The first time you said he was accused of murder, that came to my mind. And then I thought, my very next thought was, how long till Bean makes that joke?
Yeah.
It was literally,
and then you thought,
a minute and a half.
Would you like to take that back?
Boy, I don't know. That's a tough one looking back because I think it's comedically strong, but the fact that Kevin thought of it first makes me feel like it was too low-hanging fruit.
How do you feel now?
I think I'm going to have to throw that one back in the pond. I'm sorry.
How dare you? And I don't know that we've ever done a listener, have we? Have we ever asked a listener to take it?
We've had a couple of them.
Couple? Yeah. Well, we have Matt on the line. Hi there, Matt.
How's it going, guys?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to...
Would you like to take that back?
So we were talking about a dolphin lover. It's a guy who says in the 70s he had a relationship with a dolphin.
This is the documentary movie that's out that premiered at the Slam Dance Festival about this guy and his love affair with a dolphin back in the day.
And Matt wrote the email and Bean read it.
One of our listeners just checked in to ask about the dolphin lover, wondering if that affair happened by accident or if it was on purpose. Now, we don't generally put listeners in the file, but in Matt Liff's case, we should, right?
Let's put him in the file.
I think you're going into the file. Would you like to take that back, file?
At some point in the future, we're going to call you and we're going to ask you if you'd like to take that back.
And then you're going to have a chance. It's going to be your day of reckoning, my friend.
And that day of reckoning is here, Matt.
Would you like to take that back?
I thought long and hard, and I decided to... Of course I'm not going to take that back.
Good for you! Good for you!
Dolphin jokes are great. You can never go wrong with a dolphin joke.
I'm not positive that I agree with that, but all right. Congratulations.
It was a whale joke. I was having a whale of a time. I don't know.
Oh,
you're bad.
Nice. Double hand clap. I like it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
I'm joining the Lemonheads.
Go out on.
If they'll have me.
Out on the road?
If they'll have me.
Never been a hotter time to be in the Lemonheads, Ralph. Good luck with that.
You don't know,
it's a good
man.
Choice. Hey, what about our little friend Brad Williams joining us just after 7 o'clock this morning?
He's scurrying around the other room right now as we speak.
We picked up the mousetraps before he got here.
Yes,
right? We don't want any kind of accidents, any kind of mishaps.
You know what? He licks the peanut butter right off him.
I've
never seen him get trapped.
Huh. He's got some shows coming up at the Bray Improv. And, of course, he's also on Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015. So Brad's on the way. Vince Vaughn later as well. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
I had a chance to see that new Vince Vaughn film, Unfinished Business. Boy, did I like it.
I liked it, too.
I really enjoyed that film. So we can talk more about that when the man himself gets here. In the meanwhile, let's talk about show business news. Wu-Tang Clan. It's finally ready to sell the one and only copy of their secret double album, The Wu, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. That's right. They made one album, and you can bid on it.
So, if I remember the story correctly, Ralph, they looked at it like this is a piece of art like the Mona Lisa. There's not a million of them. There's one.
That's
and
right.
You're the one person who owns this record.
Yes. It's a unique item. And if you're a Wu-Tang Clan fan, you will be the sole owner of this particular work of art. And the plan was to sell just one and only copy of them to the highest bidder and then let that person do whatever they want with the music. So if you want to put it online or whatever and share it with the world, you can do that. That plan has since changed.
Oh.
Wu-Tang Clan has changed their mind about that. RZA originally said, owning a Picasso doesn't mean you can't sell prints or reproductions. You're the sole owner of that unique original. Well, someone got in their ear, and now the deal is the owner, the high bidder, can't do anything with the music on the album for 88 years.
What?
88?
I don't know how they came to 88.
Yeah.
I think that's how long U.S. copyright is.
Oh, there you go.
For songs, that's why.
No uploading, no CD presses, no leaks, nothing. 88 years. All bets are off.
There's also 88 people in Wu-Tang, so maybe that's
maybe that's where they got the 88 from.
So can you play it for people? Can you let your friends hear it if they can't if they don't copy it?
I suppose as long as you don't distribute it, you can do that. So all the details of the auction will be announced later this month, but it seems like a raw deal now. I'm not sure.
I
might pull my bid back. I was going to bid heavy on the Wu. On the
going
Wu
for that one,
but now I may say no.
Now, how much do you estimate, Ralph, that will go for? Some crazy rich hip-hop fan is going to pay how much for the Wu-Tang album?
Well, since you can't distribute the music, you don't have any rights to disseminate the work.
Right, but people spend $100 million for a painting that they don't do anything with other than hanging on the wall.
Yeah, I suppose that's
maybe
true.
Maybe somebody rich enough who just wants to own it.
I don't know. I can't see if we're going more than 20 grand, 30 grand, yeah, maybe.
I'd be surprised if it was that much.
In that neighborhood?
I think.
While we're talking music, Britney Spears suffered some hair loss during her show on Friday night. She was performing her sold-out Piece of Me show at the Planet Hollywood when she lost a piece of her when her hair extensions got loose and fell to the floor while she was dancing. It's the price you pay, man. I don't even know what that means. Is it really a Grateful Dead concert if you can't camp out? You know these Grateful Dead shows that are costing $15,000 a ticket?
I find that hard to believe.
It's true.
Why would you find it hard to believe?
Because
they've got a rabid international fan base, yeah, and it's the final time
the last
they're
time
ever performing.
To see this band. Yeah, why would you think that's so
because hard? I've been to a lot of events where they say that tickets are going for whatever, and they just never are. I mean, maybe there's one pair that is going for that, but for the most part, they're not. And they're playing a big venue, right?
They're playing, I think, three or four nights at Soldier Field. Yeah,
July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Here's the downside, though. Here's the thing that maybe make the tickets a little cheaper.
Patchouli.
There's that. But the city says they will not allow any overnight camping. How is it a dead show if you can't camp out?
And especially because hotels, I believe, are already booked up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fans asked for overnight permits to set up shop in parking lots and things, but the answer was no. So the city said, no, you can't camp out.
Hippies. I mean, period.
Smelly hippies.
I've been saying that my whole life. To be saying it until I die. Hippies.
Chicago PD are going to show up and just start beating people with billy clubs. It's going to be the Democratic National Convention all over again. You want your 60s? Here's your 60s. Boom, boom, boom. Crease your skull with a billy club.
Now you're bleeding out all over the parking lot. How do you like it now? How do you like your hippie music now? You dirty hippie.
That's my Chicago policeman.
I like it. Right, I like it very much.
You do. And Bill Murray's going to be on television. What are the odds? I don't understand him. I don't understand how he chooses his work or why he does what he does, but I'm glad he does it.
Yeah. Well, he recently showed up on Parks and Rec out of nowhere.
I know. And his connection with that family continues. Rashida Jones has a new show on TBS called Angie Tribeca about a female police officer. And Bill Murray has signed on to play a grocery store clerk who was constantly hitting on her.
Awesome.
So
that
we'll be
perfect.
Seeing him on television. Meanwhile, more TV news. If you were a fan of Garfunkel and Oates... IFC Cable Network has canceled that series after one season. I like Ricky and Kate.
Yeah. I do too. Them.
I like their comedy and their music. The show was didn't put them in the best light.
Was it as good as them?
Not as good as them. Yeah.
And I wonder if Broad City hurt them a little bit.
Maybe.
Similar and maybe a little better.
Yeah, I can see that.
Plus
that, of course. As we mentioned, as we were playing the Lemonheads earlier, Evan Dando celebrates his birthday today as we talk about celebrity birthdays. He's 48. Steven Weber. Remember Wings? I loved that sitcom.
I loved Wings.
That was a great sitcom.
I don't remember
was it
that.
Like Martha's Vineyard or somewhere, the little airport, him and his brother?
Tim Daly played his brother. They played brothers who ran a small airline.
I feel like I'm all right missing that.
No, it was good.
It was
good.
It was on for like 8 years or something, Kevin.
Tony Shalhoub got his big break on that show. Yeah. And who was Thomas Hayden Church?
That's right.
Played the dull-witted mechanic on that show. Come on, Kevin.
All right.
How do you not remember Wings?
What do you want me to do?
I don't want you to remember it.
Who cares?
You own the television, right?
Yes, but why does it matter?
Because you're just frustrated. Because you're frustrated.
I remember it, and it was awesome. Okay. Better?
Yep.
Thank you.
Much better.
Thank you. It was on for like 8 years. How do you not know Wings?
Oh, wait a minute. Steven Webb of Stab Guys, right? Riding around with a knife, Stab Guys? Do we have that moment?
No.
Yeah.
I'm taking a little time. I'm going to call an audible here, and we're going to listen to that timeout because it's still. I was trying to recount it to my wife last night, and she couldn't comprehend it. I said, "It really has to be heard to be believed."
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed stab people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
No, let's find out. Why is Vanellis going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of stab anybody. Screech.
You were thinking of Screech? You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was a moment with Kevin.
You named like 1080 singers in a row. And then, oh, Sweet Spirit.
Oh, stop it.
And we're shocked he can't remember Wings. That stuns us. For some reason, that perplexes us. Right. What? He can't remember that show? He
idiots.
Can't remember a news story from a week ago. Lou Gehrig for dummies, boys and girls. Michael T. Williamson is 55 years old. Patricia Heaton is 57. And one of my favorite all time. Female funny people, Catherine O'Hara. She is 61. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Vince Vaughn joins us in studio from the new film Unfinished Business, 1 hour from right now. Oh, I wish Vince were here right now so we get a photo of him with Brad Williams.
Have you ever had guests on with a greater height difference than me and Vince Vaughn?
I don't think so.
Good Lord.
I don't think so.
It's probably a record.
Yeah, because I've played hockey against Vince Vaughn one time. He showed up to a pickup.
Were you the puck?
Yes, pretty much. And, I hip-checked Vince, but for me it was more like a knee check on him. Like, I just came in and, like, took him out. It was not fun.
Was it an illegal hit?
Probably.
Well done.
Yes. So
How did you end up playing hockey, by the way?
I was
it a charity thing or something?
No, it was just a comedian pickup league. It was Bill Burr.
Comedian pickup league.
Yeah, it was Bill Burr, Steve Byrne, Ian Bagg, Vince Vaughn, and me. And, like, a bunch of other comics and stuff. It was great.
That's funny. Hey, Brad Williams is in town because he is playing at the Brea Improv all weekend long starting tomorrow night. So Thursday through Saturday, no Sunday show, right?
No Sunday show.
Thursday through Saturday. You can see Brad on stage at the Brea Improv. Tickets are just $20, available at improv.com. And, of course, Brad, we want to thank you for agreeing to come back to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. You're going to be with us on Saturday, April the 4th, which is a month from today, by the way, at the Shrine Auditorium. Looking forward to that, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I took a year off, so you guys wouldn't get too sick of me, and then I decided to come back and reclaim my belt. But you guys put Tenacious D on the I'm not having set of the night. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
It's not happening. No,
the first time Brad did it,
yeah,
Jay Moore commented, mm-hmm, we're all just playing for second place now.
Yeah.
Right. And Brad pretty much won the night.
And by the way, is that the best compliment you've ever received as a comedian, Brad?
That is right up there with Robin Williams telling me that I'm like Prozac with a head.
That all right.
Yeah. So,
I don't know how to rank those, but all right.
You were listening on the way in. We were talking about an app called Whippler.
Right. And I'm listening, and I kept waiting for you guys to mention in a dating app that I've been using.
Okay.
And you guys never mentioned it.
We mentioned Tinder. We mentioned OkCupid. We mentioned
Grindr. Scruff.
Grindr.
Yeah,
Scruff.
Yeah, which Scruff is what?
It's for bears in the gay community as well as jocks. But
good, yeah. Good thing I grew a beard at the right time.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm ready.
You're
going to
be very popular.
Darn right.
Which one, Scruff. Which one were you thinking of that we didn't mention?
It's an app called Thrinder.
Thrinder.
Which is Tinder for threesomes.
Wow.
Oh.
No
interesting.
Idea.
Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, it's been great. It's been fantastic.
It's worked.
It has worked. Now, I swear that some of these women that are swiping for me, like, I'm pretty sure that they just want to know if I'm actually the guy from the picture. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, my default picture is I'm holding a poodle, which probably isn't right for, like, a sex app. But
right? Strange choice, but okay.
I just thought, what's more adorable than a midget? Midget holding a poodle. Done.
For years.
Yeah. Who's going to deny that? So,
but, Brad, I would imagine that this is an area where you have such an advantage using a sex app because people are putting a threesome together.
Right.
Who wouldn't want a midget as a part of that? I mean, that really, if your goal as a couple is to spice things up,
right.
Bring a little person into the mix. Now you've got a story.
I think we're getting an insight into Bean's sexual fantasies
yeah.
right now.
It's really more Mrs. Baxter's fantasy, I think.
A midget right now.
So
you're going to get a text from Bean.
Hey, come on up. So for reals, Brad,
yeah.
all comedy aside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you used this? Have you used Thrinder?
Yeah, totally.
Sweet.
It's totally worked, too.
How many times?
Three times.
And have you made connections that you're continuing to keep?
Yes.
Wow. Here's the official policy of the Kevin and Bean Show, is the only threesomes that are legitimate are two girls, one guy.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Oh, that's what I'm doing. I'm not doing I'm not doing the devil's threesome. That's not happening because I've done that one time and I had a very unfortunate incident. Okay. All right. I'll clean this up for radio. Don't worry. There's two rules when you're in devil's threesome, which is two guys, one girl.
Yep.
As a guy, rule number one: look down, and okay. That's the only place you ever look down. That's it.
You don't want to make eye contact with the other guy.
Yes, okay. Her stuff, your stuff. That's it. You never want to be like, I'm almost there, and now I'm making eye contact with my best friend. No,
yeah. All right.
You do not want that.
All right, good tip.
Rule number two: figure out which way you're going to rotate. At some point, you're going to switch positions.
Do you have this conversation ahead
right?
of time?
Yes.
You map it out.
You map it out. You
no.
got to be like Vince Lombardi in that NFL Films video, like, yeah, a seal here and a seal here. And, like, you figure it out because me and this dude did not figure it out, and we started rotating the same direction. We were both going, and now he's about 5'10", and I'm 4'4".
Yeah,
certain
you're right there.
Things were lining up
yeah.
with certain other things.
Right. It's a shame you're not gay. It really is.
It would have been. Good Lord. So I, like, panic because now I'm, like, all right, I'm all of a sudden in a sexy time experience. Now I'm reenacting the scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark where Indiana Jones is running away from the boulder like, what the hell? I'm just running away. And then, like, but the girl, I hit her and, like, bounce back. And then the guy walks by me not paying attention. And how do I clean this up for radio? He paintbrushed me.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
I think paintbrush is good.
Yes. I'm pretty
we
sure.
We have the visual, unfortunately. Yes.
Yes. I'm pretty sure you could put that in on your on the Scruff app. Like, ooh, I like to be paintbrushed. So yeah, that was not fun. So
yeah.
I'm not doing the devils anymore. Absolutely not. Strictly the two ladies.
Thrinder, though. That's a takeaway from today's show.
Yeah. The when you type it in on the search, it's the number 3 and then N-D-E-R. So
okay.
Thrinder. So Bean, I know you're looking it up right now.
Sure.
Go for it, buddy.
You know how
Thrinder,
Bean does.
Meet kinky, curious, and open-minded people.
Woo!
Is that how they advertise it?
That's it, yeah.
Hey, Brad, is there an app for little people?
Oh, my God, there should be.
Yeah, like. I would think there is for everybody.
You mean
little people that,
be made
that want to get together with little people? You
yeah.
Mean,
yeah, yeah. And it should only be made available on the Apple Watch because it would be very tiny.
No, it could be either way, Bean. I mean, maybe if you're interested in a midget, which a lot of people are,
yeah,
as we've learned,
I know
yeah.
Brad
over
pretty
the years,
well.
Yeah,
he I do okay.
He wrecks it. So it wouldn't just have to be little person.
Yeah.
It just could be if you're interested.
Now, I know there's a dating site strictly for little people.
Okay.
That, like, you know how they have farmersonly.com?
Yes.
They have the site, and it's called Date a Little.
Date a Little.
Okay. DateALittle.com.
See?
Chip. Right?
Chip is barely taller than you.
Yeah, let's make this Chip. We should go on Thrinder as a couple,
yes,
looking for a third.
Yes, please.
And just see.
Please
how
make
many
that
people
happen.
Roll in with that. Holy God! They're like, wow! I've always had that fantasy about having sex with a pixie. This will be great.
Well, this has been very informative, Brad. We have learned a lot today. We got to take a quick break. Brad Williams is here. He'll be at the Brea Improv Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Tickets available at improv.com. Just $20. And don't forget, Friday at noon, you can buy your tickets to see Brad on the big stage at the Shrine, April 4th. It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolish, just 2015. More with our guests right after this on K Rock. I think about. Adam Carolla used to tell us that he wanted to do a service where they come in and they eliminate your digital footprint after you die suddenly, so your parents don't, you know, see what's on your browser, on your computer,
right,
on your phone.
Right.
You should sign up for that, Kevin, in the event that your phone ever falls into the wrong hands after the photos you're showing of you and Brad in Brazil this morning.
I have so much good stuff that I've never posted. And videos as well.
I mean, not that I could ever do this, but if your phone was ever discovered, I could never be president. I can never run for office.
You might be in jail.
I mean, yeah.
Or president. You'd have the greatest campaign poster ever, Brad.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many reasons why I can never be president, but not to mention just podiums.
Yeah.
Podiums suck.
That seems like it would be...
That would be awesome if you were the president. I would love that
It
so
would be
much.
Awesome.
That, and come on, who doesn't want to see a dwarf in a suit? It's so adorable.
I would vote for you in 1 second.
Well, we've already had an African-American president.
Yeah.
At some point, we'll have a woman president.
Right.
Maybe soon. Gay president probably comes before a little person president, right?
I hope so.
But you got to be a gay female dwarf.
Ooh. Ooh. Good.
I'm in.
Just knock everything out.
Total package.
Yeah. You know what? That's when all like the rich white Republicans would just get together and be like, all right, we'll give you one that knocks out everything, so every minority is happy.
And then it's back to straight white men for the next 100 years after that person serves.
Right.
I like it. Brad Williams is here. He's at the Brea Improv starting tomorrow night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Tickets just $20, improv.com. That is your hometown, practically.
Yeah.
And they always sell out when you play the Improv, right?
Yeah, they do, because, that's where I've born and raised in Fullerton, California, Sunny Hills High School alumni. Class of 03. And
that's the home of the what? What's your team?
The Lancers.
The Lancers.
Which sounds like something else. That sounds like a grinder category,
sort of,
right?
Does.
Like, ooh, I'm looking for a Lancer.
It sure does.
I would just love a Lancer. Wow. If you could isolate that thing, that sound I just made, and go against Bean's cat noise, that would be unbelievable.
We'll get it. We'll pull it.
I'm sure you will. I've been listening to the show the last few weeks, and you guys have been doing like a lot of car chases.
There's been so many good ones.
Yes, there's been so many good car chases, and there was a llama chase.
Yep.
And that reminded me that I've actually like done one of those. Where,
what do you mean you've done one of
okay,
those?
Okay, like
a whole other website.
Yeah,
I've done one of those llamas.
Not a llama.
What do you mean you've done one of those?
I witnessed a hit and run.
Okay.
And when the car took off, me and this other car like saw the lady drive away, and we're like, no, not on our watch.
Yeah,
and
you followed him?
Yeah, we start going, and this girl is running red lights, and we're running red lights, and we're keeping up, and I'm on the phone with 911, and it's this Asian dude next to me, and we're like trying to box her in or whatever, but she's way ahead. And
hold on a sec, Brad. Hold on. Are you you're talking about a woman who's running from the police?
Yes.
Because we know from watching car chases on TV how incredibly rare that is.
Yes.
Well, she wasn't running from the police yet. It was a hit and run, right?
Right.
And the police hadn't shown up?
They had not shown up.
So you said not on my watch.
What
were you going to do?
What watch do you have?
I don't know. But it's just like, because really when it comes to me and cars and physical activity, I can't help. I can't do anything. I'm not going to like, I, like, maybe if you dropped a ball under the car, okay, I would be of some assistance.
Right.
But I can't do anything. So we're chasing after this girl, and then for some weird reason, this Asian dude who decided to follow this girl with me just, like, looks over at me and gives me a nod, like, let's do this.
Let's do it.
And I'm like,
and all of a sudden, you're in the Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean, let's do this? What does that mean? And he races up ahead of the girl and does this, like, peel-out maneuver.
Like a pin maneuver. Almost.
Yeah, and, like, boxes her in.
And then you just rammed her full speed. Well, belly in, please.
Yeah, I mean that game later. But, so then I come up, and then I box her in, and then the woman gets out and sees an Asian guy and a midget, and literally she just goes, no effing way.
Wow. Because, like, she did not see her day ended like that.
Right, because she thought, like, it was like Skeeter and Dale, like, listening to some country music going on. All right, we got ourselves a convoy right here. And, like, they thought that we were trying to do, like, some NASCAR stuff, but
did she run?
No.
When she saw you?
Well,
she just gave up because you're you.
Well, obviously, you see a dwarf and an Asian guy right in front of you. You're like, I don't know, they could probably throw fireballs.
I'm not sure how that all works, but it's possible.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
How long did you wait for the police?
About 5 minutes after that, because I was on the phone with the cops the entire time.
Sweet. Like, were the cops telling you to keep tailing her?
No.
No way. They had to be telling you to stop because it's dangerous, right?
But I was like full action movie. Like, there's no time for backup. If I stop, this one gets away. I'll speak to the captain later.
So you're in full-on Liam Neeson mode at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so interesting what kicks in with various people, because I bet most people in your situation, Brad, would not have wanted to have anything to do with that car,
sure.
That woman. They would want to be as far away and as safe as possible from that. Hey, look, I don't want to get involved. It's not my fight, not my problem. Good luck.
But being, I think if you see a hit and run... Like, I think you react to that based on, this is all wrong.
Yeah.
Right. That's what happened to Brad, right? In your mind, you had no choice. You felt like, I need to do the right thing and help out this person who just got hurt.
Absolutely. And I've been in a car accident before where the person who hit me, like, ran away. And I was like, no, absolutely not. This is not happening to somebody else. Yeah, I've got weird luck with car accidents. I've been in another one where I got out of the car. It was totally my fault. Wrecked this guy's car. He gets out and he sees that I'm a dwarf and just goes, worth it.
He doesn't even know how much damage was done yet.
No, he's like, I'm good.
Worth it.
Worth it. Like, I don't know what he thought. Like, well, you hit a dwarf. That's obviously 25,000 points, right? I'm at, like, the top of the leaderboard right now.
So he's got a great story to tell forever.
And exactly.
No matter how much it costs, worth it.
Worth it. I thought, like, okay, that's fine. But
all right. Listen, yeah. Brad, we're almost out of time.
Okay.
But before you go...
Yeah.
Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015. As a guy who's done, what, two foolishnesses for us in the past, what's your pitch for listeners who are on the fence about going or not?
Oh, my God. All right. First of all, you guys don't understand this lineup is – you don't see shows that have this lineup. It's a ridiculous lineup. It's so much fun. It all goes to charity.
By the way, let me just butt in right there. It all goes to charity because Allie brought up that we don't highlight that enough. All of these comedians
do this for free.
Do this for free so that all the money can go to charity, which is awesome of you.
Yeah. Which is why you need to come to my Bray Improv shows on Friday and Saturday, because I get a door deal, so then I'll actually get paid. I'm not getting paid for foolishness.
I didn't think that's where we were going, but okay.
No, that's where I'm going. Because I'm really getting way too many car accidents.
How much money a guy like Ralphie May has given up to give up a Saturday night for us, by the way.
Yeah, because he sells out theaters.
Same with Gabriel Iglesias.
By himself. Yep. Yeah. Gabriel does by himself.
Same with Jack Black.
Yeah. Tenacious D. So you guys have to come out. You got to witness it. And it's just a big party. It's not like it's at the Shrine, but it's not like people are sitting down going, well, this will be a splendid night of theater.
Yeah.
It's not that.
No, the vibe is awesome. That's what I love about it. Everybody's there to have fun.
Right.
They're there maybe for a comedian or somebody else, you know, one or the other, but they want to laugh. So everybody's in a great mood. They're all...
Yeah, and you'll get to see Ralphie May, Gabriel Iglesias, and me on a stage together. You talk about size difference.
Yeah.
Like,
no kidding.
They stand next to me. We look like a W.
That's
we
true.
Talked to your podcast partner, Adam Ray, yeah. a couple of days ago on the phone after the lineup was announced. And, mm-hmm. you know, being close to you and seeing how much fun you had the years that you've done it previously, he is so psyched.
Oh, he's beyond psyched.
And he's going to be great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And he's opened up for me a bunch of times. And now it's so cool to see Adam, like, headline. Now he's not opening for anyone anymore. Now he's headlining.
Wait, oh, he's great. Funny.
Wasn't... It was at April Fool's just that I was trying to get you to hump Larry King's leg, right?
Yes, it was. And then that's when Dave, you told me to do it.
I was like, yes!
You offered me like $1,000 or something to hump Larry King's leg, and I wasn't making any money that night. So, yes, I will do that. So I start running out, and then Dave, like full on...
King of Mexico
tackles me like an open field... Like a receiver going across the middle. And for that, I think we should all hate Dave forever because I never hump Larry King's leg because of that.
Well, it would have been great, but then maybe he dies too. You don't know because he's an old dude. Why? He doesn't know what's happening.
Why? And you say that like that would have ruined it? That would have made me a legend. The guy that killed Larry King?
Gabriel Iglesias. Yeah, you would have been very famous in prison, Brad. Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. House music by Mike Rome. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon at Ticketmaster.com. All the details at KROQ.com. Brad, have fun at the Bray Improv, my friend. We'll see you on April 4th.
Sounds great. Thanks.
From the Anchorman movies and Delivery Man and The Internship and The Watch and The Dilemma and Fred Claus and The Breakup and the list goes on and on and on and on. Our friend Vince Vaughn makes his return to The Kevin and Bean Show coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. By the way, Kevin, got some great news for you.
Yeah.
Did you hear that they're making some progress on the writer syndrome?
No.
No, I did not, Bean. Tell me more.
We were talking a couple of days ago about Dr. Stephen Hawking. And he's got the ALS, you know, which is, you know, the brain is misfiring the communications to his body. And it's very sad. And, of course, they're working very hard. You remember the ice water challenge from the summertime? Everybody's working really hard. And then it turns out that that you have something very similar that that has been named after you as well. It doesn't necessarily make you smarter with the writer syndrome that you've got.
Did we decide it was airborne? Was that the problem?
I think that was our concern is because a lot of people around you seem to be getting dumber just by working with you. Hey, look, that's why I moved away, okay? I was concerned about my proximity.
Here's the weird thing is Beer Mug, who used to run the board in here, and now he's in the other room, has really stepped it up.
Yeah.
Like, he's happy. He's able to communicate.
He wrote a book and balanced his checkbook.
That's correct. At the same time.
Yeah.
As soon as he got out from under your wing, all of a sudden, it's like he gained 100 IQ points. So it's very terrifying for all of us anytime a new disease is unveiled onto the world. But the good news is that the Writer Syndrome Association, the RSA, is now putting their considerable resources to the American public trying to get a cure for what ails you, Kevin. And here's their first fundraising pitch.
Are you or someone you love affected by Writer Syndrome?
I... learned 6 new languages. Never mind.
Victims of Writer Syndrome seem normal on the outside, but when they open their mouths...
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? Could I try that again?
The horror of Writer Syndrome is all too evident.
Tennessee.
Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
Symptoms of Writer Syndrome are confusion.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Anger.
Watch what you're doing, mother effer!
More confusion.
Maybe he just fell off the bandwagon and that was it. I don't believe you fall off the bandwagon.
And a whole lot of stupid.
It's a good thing. That's good old personal... you know what I'm saying.
Writer Syndrome is named after radio personality Kevin Ryder.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
He's the Lou Gehrig of dummies.
The sum of the parts is greater than the sum of the... Well, you know.
Sadly, there is no cure for Writer Syndrome.
Just let it go.
But there is treatment. Vodka Red Bulls and granola bars.
We loaded enough booze on the beer for the entire city of Las Vegas.
However, research into this horrible illness is more important now than ever.
I need to do the Dave plan next time. I'm not drunk.
So please give what you can.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Make your tax-deductible donation out to the Writer's Syndrome Association. Or as Kevin calls it, the RVKG.
It's so much worse than I thought it was.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Vince Vaughn's going to be joining us in studio right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph, I forgot to ask you earlier today.
Yes.
And I don't want to bite into any of your time here.
Yes.
But LeSean McCoy, mother effer.
Yeah, Shady. Looks like he's going to be tradey.
Going to Buffalo?
Shady be tradey.
And I understand that he's very, very expensive, but how are you feeling about losing your guy?
Well, here's the thing. I have faith in Chip Kelly, and I'm assuming he probably knows more about this stuff than I do. Here's the thing about running backs is that they got a short shelf life.
Yeah.
And once they drop off the cliff, man, they can really drop off. So maybe he saw something in his production or something last year where he thought we need to, you know, free up some salary cap space and get rid of him to try to make it more advantageous for us for the next season. So I don't know. DeMarco Murray looks like he may be on the market.
So
maybe
there's something
in the weeds. But.
So a franchise makes a move, you're a fan, and you're not just writing angry emails threatening to boycott them?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I have blamed several of his teammates for his trade, and
okay,
I have
good.
Started a Boycott Eagles Facebook page.
I like that's the only reasonable response, I think
so,
when you see
yes.
a move that you don't fully understand.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Because
right.
you, as the guy who watches the Eagles on TV, probably know more about the team than the coach does.
I'd like to think I do, yes.
But even saying you're going to boycott, you'll still watch, right?
No! No!
Okay.
By the way, on a serious note, the fact that he's 26 and people are already going, well, he could be getting near the end.
That's
frightening, isn't it?
Running backs get brutalized.
Yeah, I mean, they're like greyhounds.
You're getting hit on every play, every single time you run the ball, right?
I'm sorry, they're like greyhounds?
How are they like greyhounds? Because they have a very,
you know,
very
short... greyhound every time it runs?
Yep.
No. I mean that they have the greyhound racers have an extremely short career.
That's I see. I mean. They peak. They peak early, and then it drops right off.
Yeah, once
they're
past
they're
two
hit by linebacker dogs? Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure how it works.
I'm trying to follow this.
They got a knife, and they're stabbing people. The greyhounds are stabbing people.
I'm sure what's happening.
Look, I'm just saying, we got Darren Sproles, who will be the complimentary back to whoever we play next season, and they got a lot of concerns. The quarterback thing's still a question mark. The secondary's been decimated. He let Trent Cole go, one of my favorite LBs, so
they're,
everything's in flux over there. I don't know what's going on with the Eagles, but it is fun to talk football during the offseason.
Yes, it is.
Very rarely do I have a reason to. Next Tuesday, apparently, is when the season officially opens. That's when the trades and things start to happen, so
sweet.
I will be watching closely. All right, let's talk about show business news. President Obama is giving a speech on Saturday to commemorate the anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery Civil Rights March. And afterwards, apparently there's going to be quite the concert. Lady Gaga will be performing, along with T.I., Young Breezy, The Impressions. Bono will be in the audience. So will President George W. Bush. I'm sure he's going to enjoy Young Breezy. And R. Kelly is scheduled to perform.
R. Kelly?
Yes!
How is the president allowing... How is he allowed to be at an event with R. Kelly?
Because...
Doesn't it seem like his people would say, no, that can't happen?
R. Kelly's going to bust out some new Trapped in the Closet chapters, and we're all very excited about it. It's going to be awesome. Where are you, Obama?
Where are you, Chuck?
More music. All of a sudden, Brian Wilson is hotter than ever.
I don't know.
They are having, they just announced Brian Fest, a night to celebrate the music of Brian Wilson. It's happening at the Fonda Theater here in Los Angeles on the 30th. An amazing lineup of performers will be playing all of Brian's tunes. Nora Jones and Wilson of Heart, Boz Scaggs, Wilson Phillips, a ton of other performers. They say Brian might be there to perform too. He's got a new solo album called No Peer Pressure, which will be out in April. And they're making that movie about his life, which stars Paul Dano, who's a great actor, as the young Brian Wilson, and then John Cusack playing the older Brian Wilson.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, here's a little piece of, if you didn't miss it, here's a little piece of the trailer for that movie.
His music defined a generation.
I like surfing. I'm sand of sand and it's good.
His genius made him a legend.
I like to play the triangle. It goes ding.
But where the legend stops, the story begins.
Hey, I'm really hungry. Could somebody buy me a Baskin and Robbins store?
Love and Mercy, the story of Brian Wilson.
Why is Elvis living inside that oak tree and telling me to cut my toenails?
That's an excellent question. I don't know.
I feel like he's got writer syndrome.
Brian never came to the answer. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, real quick email, if you don't mind, from one of our listeners, Saul Agayo, writes this in. Recently, I was watching The Karate Kid. Ah, love that movie. And I noticed that Ralph Macchio's character refuses to accept his instructor's teachings. After he finally embraces them and gets really good, then he wins a tournament with a move he observed his instructor doing. So I guess the moral of the story is, never ignore Mr. Miyagi.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Never ignore Mr. Miyagi. Never ignore Mr. Miyagi. Never ignore Mr. Miyagi.
Thank you, Saul. Appreciate that.
Yeah, hey, can we get back to the funny?
We just did. We were just in Funny Town, mister. Population me. Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara, 61 years old today. Boy, I love her so much.
She's great.
All those Chris Guest movies. Mighty Wind.
Waiting for Guffman.
Waiting for Guffman. Boy, she's terrific. And SCTV, too. I was a big fan back in the day. Patricia Heaton's 57. Michael T. Williamson turns 55 years old. He's a great actor, too. Steven Weber. Kevin, you remember him from?
From Wings.
There you go.
TV show Wings.
TV series Wings.
I loved it.
He's 54 years old.
Great.
Lemonhead singer Evan Dando is 48 years old. And former LA Galaxy player Landon Donovan. Kevin loves him so much. He's 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ice is good. Sounds fun.
Ice is better than best fun.
Your money.
We're discussing a brand new way to look at a fraternity.
All I gotta do is say earmuffs to him.
They can say, bitch, whatever you want.
Wedding season.
We are gonna have tons and tons of opportunities to meet gorgeous ladies that are so aroused by the thought of marriage that they'll throw their inhibitions to the wind.
Time to put your mouth where our balls are.
How many times do I have to drop hints about the ballet?
I hate the goddamn ballet. You got a bunch of dudes in tights flopping around for 3 hours. It's like a medieval techno show.
My name is Fred Claus.
Hi, Fred.
I'm Santa Claus's brother.
I'm sitting in blood. Marcel, this isn't a drill, buddy. You got real sharks here. It's time to get the guns, and it's time to shoot some fish.
Whenever you have a tiger, flames, and wings all in the same logo, this is inspiring for the watch.
I don't know. What are we in a doo-wop group?
Yeah, for your information, doo-wop groups were known to close ass. Singing was their hobby. Closing ass was their job.
I will not be grabbing a cold one with you.
You get high?
I don't get high.
Dating a fellow intern.
Is a one-night stand considered dating?
What have I said a million times? If you've got all the money in the world and you're making a movie, you're looking for a comedy all-star, there's one name, and that name is Seth Rogen. But if you can't get him, I'm telling you, people, Vince Vaughn. That's your man, is Vince Vaughn from the new film Unfinished Business, and he joins us back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Great to be with you guys. It's been a while. How you
been? It's been a while. We're good.
Yeah, we catch up with you on the phone for most of your movies. You're usually traveling around the world peddling your product, but it's great to have you in town.
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
Living here, back here in Los Angeles again, so it's nice to be able to come down and see you in person, although you are in Seattle currently, so it's nice to hear you over the phone and see everybody else.
Now, what was that like? So you, if I remember correctly, you married a civilian a few years ago, right?
That's right. It was a civilian. A Canadian civilian.
Oh, Canadian, wow. Too. She had no idea who you were then. She lives in the hinterlands.
That's right. Very nice Eskimo lady, though.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, it's fine, but I gave, like, gifts to the family. It wasn't her choice, sure. But it's, you know what I mean? There's no arguing.
She's adapting.
She's fine. She doesn't have a lot of a choice, but yes, adapting is a word we could use.
So you didn't have to go live in an igloo. She came to live in your mode of home, right?
That's right. Okay. I wrestled the men of the village, and she was my price.
So I'm just trying to put it together. So you moved away. You actually left California for a while and lived in and tried to have a personal life and raise a family?
Yeah, I grew up in Chicago. I was raised in Chicago, but I always felt like I grew up here, and because I moved when I was 18, right after high school. And me and you were actually, as we've spoken many times, were neighbors for a while on Rossmore.
Right.
And so when I first had the kids, I went back to Chicago because with little kids, I don't like the idea of going out and every time you go to get something to eat or do something that there's paparazzi. So.
Do they not try and be sensitive to kids?
They haven't been sometimes. You know, they just want their photos or whatever, and I understand it. But, you know, as a parent, it's like, you don't want to feel like you're walking around and someone's popping out and taking a photo. But
of course not.
Anyway, I ended up here in the South Bay where, there isn't a lot of that, and it's been great. I love it there, and we get to—
How long were you gone, Vince, and did you miss L.A.?
I did. Yeah, I did. I mean, I love Chicago. That's home for me. But, I made a life out here, so, this is my home.
I don't mean this at all in a disrespectful way, but what can a photo of Vince Vaughn be worth in 2014 or whatever it was?
I'm glad you didn't mean to be disrespectful, Dean.
It's not taken
disrespectfully at all.
Well,
I'm glad you asked that question. And it's not, there's no disrespect, no disrespect intended or received.
Excellent.
That photo goes for a lot of bones. It's going to cost someone a lot of bones.
Really?
Yeah. There's been, I don't want to say second homes bought on it, but yeah, there's been
some maybe a down payment,
I
maybe 20%.
In the parking lot, actually, you were moving some product out there in the parking lot.
Well, you have very good eyes, yeah. And it wasn't photos I was moving. So mind your own business. If you want some, you can have it, and it's free. And then if you want more, and your friends like it, come back and we'll talk about a price.
I understand. Okay.
Is that a 5-minute thing?
That's right. I love that there's a guy who's going down to the going down to the newsstand every Friday, going, "Gotta get me some Vince Vaughn pictures. What's that guy been up to?"
That guy has a really rich life. I don't know why you're judging him. I don't want you want to bring in negativity to the table.
Yeah.
Why would you want to hate someone who's working from a beautiful place?
That's a good point, Vince.
My gosh.
I misread the situation.
My goodness.
I'm so
sorry. You're like one of the Rangers that made fun of Rudolph for being special. This has turned ugly. And you're better than that, Bean.
He's not.
No.
He really is.
Yeah, actually, he is.
He's not.
Okay, he's not.
We know better.
We had you in. How many years ago was the Who Hurt You conversation?
15? Oh, well, Vince wouldn't know, but it was definitely in the mid. It was definitely mid-90s.
We rocked it mid-90s with that.
He gave you one of those backhanded compliments, and you just stopped the entire interview, and you said, "Who hurt you?" And you just started burrowing.
Can I tell you something?
That was awesome.
Love comes in all kinds of forms. Maybe that was some tough love, but it was a hug. It was a wet kiss is what it was. Right. I'm not going to have it described as anything different.
No.
Well, you forced me to reevaluate myself, that's for sure.
Well, you know, if an oil check is good, but let's not over-focus on it. Let's get you back out playing with the other kids.
Unfinished Business is the new film that's in theaters everywhere this Friday.
By the way, saw it last night. Loved it.
Yes, right?
It's
our comedy. It's nice to be in something that's adult, and it's got a lot of big laughs in it, so it was fun.
I want to talk about the casting for a minute, because Tom Wilkinson, who is one of the greatest actors in the world
today. I know
today,
what you're thinking. Why is he slumming with me and Franco?
No, I'm not thinking that at all.
Why are you throwing Franco in with that?
Well, because me and Franco run around making jokes like a couple of smacked asses, and this guy's got the Oscar nodding at him. So, yeah, it's not an obvious choice.
But is incredible, because you usually see him playing these super intense, dramatic roles. But he was in what was the first big movie we saw him? The Full Monty, right? Didn't we see him in The Full Monty? Is that when he broke out? But since then, it's been all drama, and it was just so refreshing, and he was so funny in this film playing the comedy. He's great at it.
He's a great actor, and he came with a good spirit. And a lot of times, I think guys who do drama, they get excited to come do something different like comedy. So I think he's great in the movie, and he was a lot of fun, and we had a lot of laughs with him.
He brings the gravitas, too, that in his character, he is the older guy who's been around the block a few times, and he's a little bit wiser even than you are in this situation when he's doing the business.
Well, that's up for interpretation.
I'm just saying it's hard.
I understand. But then you have to interpret the interpreter and how wise they are. So,
so that really... I'm just saying
it's a conversation.
It was effective.
It's at least a conversation.
To have him there, like someone who's older and much smarter than you are.
Yeah. Again, it's a conversation.
No, it's not really. That's pretty much fact.
Well,
I
think the only thing we can agree on is that you're really declaring a lot about yourself, which isn't bad. If you want to know what? If you were all the way there, what fun would life be? And
that's
the fact
true.
That you've got some room to grow, I think you got a lot to be excited about.
All right, Vince, for people who haven't seen the movie yet, describe your character and then Franklin Wilkins.
Well, I think my character in the movie is kind of a guy who is tired of sort of being in a corporate, kind of like a hamster on the wheel, and so he wants to do something different. It feels like a good idea, but then when the dream of it isn't matching with reality, it's a bit of a struggle. And Dave is a kid. How do I say this? He's a little touched. He sees the world a little differently, maybe.
Yeah.
He's got some gifts that could be seen as challenges. He's kind of inexperienced when it comes to taking a business trip. So he's kind of down for a good time.
All right. Before we get to Tom, I want to play a clip of the movie. And this is Franco.
What did you do at Dynamic?
No, I don't work there.
You just walked out of there.
Well, I interviewed.
But you got a box with office belongings there?
Yeah. I brought it to the interview to show competence.
Do you have any sales experience?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Great.
Yeah, Foot Locker.
And reasons for leaving?
I don't like feet.
He's so good. He's
I think he crushes it in this movie.
I do,
Dave.
Too. Yeah.
He's really, really funny.
And when I started watching it, I was a little bit afraid, like, oh, no, this is just a one-note guy. But he pulls it off through the whole thing, and you end up loving him.
I think not only is he really funny, but he's got a real warmth to him in the movie, too. You end up really liking him. But he's just hilarious.
And funny. And Tom's character.
Yeah, Tom is like, you know, like you said, although some of it a little bit, but he's an older gentleman. He has a level of wisdom that's high for the average person. But he's kind of a guy at the end of his career who now is kind of, you know, kind of one last hurrah. He actually wants a divorce. He does not want to be married anymore, but he wants to have some money to leave to his wife. He wants to do it with dignity and class. And so this trip for him is sort of meaningful so that he can kind of start a new life.
Even though she looks like a vending machine, he wants to give her a couple of bucks.
Yes, nice. He says he does. She does resemble a vending machine, and that they don't make love, and that the love life isn't good. That's correct. Yeah.
Vince, do you have a? You must get offered so many scripts per year, and you can only do so many. Do you feel like you have a pretty good radar for what's funny or what's going to work for you?
You know, I don't know. It's like. Sometimes you're just an actor for hire, and you kind of go in, and it's not really up to you. And sometimes you go in thinking you're hitting one target and making a certain kind of movie, then you realize that the director or the studio is going in a direction that you didn't realize that they were doing. And that can be frustrating. So I think the most fun you have is if everyone's trying to do the same thing, you share a sense of humor, and everyone's making the same movie.
Did you help write this at all? Because it seems like it's so you.
No, it's Steve Conrad, who wrote Pursuit of Happiness, actually wrote the movie, and yeah, I think that this movie is very interesting because it's really funny, and it also just has some interesting, odd perspectives on stuff. There's some things that are kind of surprising, and I think that's really Steve.
And they're not throwaway characters. That's what I love about it. Your character isn't. Franco isn't. Wilkinson. Everybody has a role, and they're great playing, and you're interested all the way throughout the movie. Which
I think they dimensionalize them, which is good.
I was talking to Vince in the other room, and I said, as a dad, it's kind of nice to see a comedy where the father isn't just a buffoon, where he's operating at some level of competency and also is motivated by all the right things, not because he's having a midlife crisis or something, but he wants to take care of his kids and his wife, and that's a rare, especially in a comedy. You know?
Yeah, and I liked it, too, because it's like it's easy to kind of make the guy sort of be kind of incompetent. And what I think is cool is that the character is actually a guy who, yes, he has his challenges, but he's a competent guy facing those challenges, which makes it more interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, what I think is cool is that we learned that steam rooms in Germany are unisex. That's what I think is cool about the movie.
Yeah, that's fantastic news all around.
depending
on your physique level, depending on how the muscle tone level. Because you don't want to be the guy in the robe hanging out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to be in the Sfitz in the full robe checking out the ladies.
Vince, real butt or stunt butt?
The butt was stunt in this particular case, but the torso is absolutely 100% real.
All right. I'll accept
what
that.
What a weird gig to be a stunt butt.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a strange thing.
Can we bring in Vince's ass, please? Ass wrangler? Where's the ass wrangler?
No. Not Vince the ass. Bring in Vince's ass.
The movie is called Unfinished Business, opening in theaters this Friday, March 6th. Our guest is Vince Vaughn. We'll return more right after this on K-Rock. By the way, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Kevin Smith stops by. We'll talk sports with Jim Rome, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program. You got any issues, Vince? You want us to run by Dr. Drew? You need any help?
Well,
right?
I don't know if I have it. Well, yeah, of course, there's always issues involved. But
he's a real doctor.
He is a real doctor. He does a real nice job, and he's out there helping people, making a difference. He's making a little money on it. So it's a win-win-win. It's three wins. It's not just a win-win. Right? I want to talk about this quote, this Noah Gallagher quote with Taylor Swift.
I would like to talk about this as well.
All right,
Just so you
Vince Vaughn, who is in studio talking about the film Unfinished Business opening up everywhere on Friday, now wants to discuss Noel Gallagher.
But let me just let you know what you're walking into. Bean worships Taylor Swift.
She is my favorite.
Ralph and I can't stand her.
We're not fans.
So that's
and
where
wrong.
That's where we come from. So you tell us about the Noel
Gallagher. I don't have a dog in the fight with Taylor Swift. She seems like a very nice young lady. She's writing her songs and she's doing her thing. I just appreciate always Liam and Noel's particularly Noel's bluntness, you know, how they sort of go about stuff and the things that they say.
All right, Allie, do you have the quote?
I do. When he was asked about Swift's knack for songwriting, he fired back, "Who says that? Her parents?" And you'd think, okay, funny. Then he went on. They said, well, no, people say that. His response, "Whose people? Name those people. You're effing lying." She seems like a nice girl, which you just brought up. She seems like a nice girl, but no one has ever said those words, and you effing know it.
I love him so much.
That's so rock star.
But what I find funny is, you know, the interviewer might have been just turning it in a direction that he wanted with not real information or facts, and you know that this is kind of the buzz going around. And I like that that's what he focused on. It was like a cite your sources argument. Like if someone gave you statistics that felt
names.
A little inflated to get your point of view across.
So, Vince, when you hear something like that, because you do, you know, you'll probably do 20 interviews today talking about the movie, is there some part of you that is fighting to not say what you really think and to just, you know, be polite and play the game?
Well, I kind of always kind of feel
like I state my mind and do stuff. You know, I don't, you know, I like to joke around and do that kind of stuff. But I don't know that I have kind of a real bone to pick with somebody in that kind of way.
Has there ever been a movie that you had to go out and promote that you didn't believe in and you basically just lied about it?
Well, there's been times that you've in that situation. But what I find is that you just kind of nicely not, you know, you avoid that kind of topic. And you don't kind of get into it too much.
But that's a legendary interviewer's trick when they don't want to put their own point of view out there. They'll say, people say. People have been saying.
Well, that's why Noel took that guy's head off.
And that's why it's beautiful.
It's beautiful that he did that. But I always got a kick out of those two, and they were kind of fun mixing it up. You know, they definitely had a point of view about stuff, and the songs were great.
Yeah, but they're stuck at 13 years old, the two of them.
Yeah, there's a problem. There's definitely
a little
problem.
Petulant.
They've definitely got some issues there.
Who do you love musically? You mentioned Oasis. Who else is like if we looked at your phone right now, Vince? What music's on there?
Well, I always like as we were talking, Tom Morello, Rage Against the Machine. I always liked. I think Morello's you know, really really talented. You know, I always liked the Clash, and you know I like a variety of stuff. I like
Bieber. A lot of Bieber.
Am I a believer? Is that the question?
Yes.
Are you a believer? You know, I don't know what to believe at this point. Right? What are we supposed to believe at this point? Does anyone have what's up with the scissor, by the way?
What is up with the scissor?
What's up with the scissor? What's up with the Fanta and the DayQuil? What's going on? And now that he's 21, does the scissor stop? Because now he can actually go buy like an actual drink, or does the scissor keep going? I just think these kids are doing DayQuil and grape soda. What's happening? Who comes up with scissor? They won't let us buy booze, but the DayQuil really will rock us. And let's throw some sugar in there to keep
Jolly
us awake.
Ranchers.
So we got DayQuil, so we're not falling asleep. We got caffeine, we're not falling asleep. Let's see if we start making good decisions in about 4 hours, right?
Speaking of good decisions, Vince, we all made fun of Bieber because he went off the rails, and a lot of people tried to defend him by saying, look at what was handed to him when he was 15, 16, 17 years old. You got kind of famous young. Did you ever go crazy and kind of look back now and go, wow, I'm you know, glad I was able to come back from that?
I think it's a little different because I was 18 when I moved out here, and John and I didn't make Swingers until I was 24. So I had lots of real-life rejection and sort of a normal process, you know. And I do think there's some validity when someone's that young and they're put in that situation. And then they're kind of like, what's the barometer for them to even kind of get regular social habits? You know, you don't have that group of friends who kind of keeps you in check or what have you. So I do think there's an understandability for why someone can drift. And I think we see it so many times. It's not like he's a unique case.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those cases. So there's a part of that that's sad.
But still, look, F him though, right?
Well, I don't know if I'd say F him. I just feel like, you know, it feels like he's at a moment now. And what do I know? But it looks like he's trying to recognize and grow up a little bit. So I always like to see someone kind of get in a better place, you know?
I'm not a fan of his, but I have always said if I get that kind of fame and money when I'm 16, I might be worse than him.
Yeah.
I don't know, like that.
Oh, well, I'm not a fan of the music. I mean it's not my thing at all. The music is nothing that I would listen to. No disrespect to the believers out there.
Sure.
Just shooting straight.
And
Bean, are you a believer?
No, I'm not at all. Although I liked him very, you know, on his first record, I thought he was enormously talented for his age. I really did. I was really impressed, but it didn't take long after that before he threw it all away. Did you have any trouble adapting to fame when it did come after? After Swingers?
Did I have trouble adapting to it? Yeah, I think there's a little bit of when it first kind of happens that it's just sort of a new thing that goes on. And, you know, for me, I like going out with hanging out and, you know, still I don't have a group around me or I never been that way. It's against sort of my personality. So it was an adjustment to realize like, hey, I may not be able to go, you know, walk down here or go to the farmer's market or the local thing and just sort of say hi. And then I just sort of pushed through it and kept doing it anyway.
And so now we just hear horrible things about you help out the Special Olympics, doing polar plunges, horrible things like
That's a smokescreen, guys.
USO.
I hide some of the terrible traits that I have. You know that.
No.
Very clever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at me. I'm helping people out. You guys know I'm hurting people. I'm taking money.
Why was that necessary, by the way? Yeah. The whole jumping in Lake Michigan thing. You know, why did that have to happen?
It's unclear. There's lots of ways to bring awareness to stuff.
That's what I was thinking.
It's unclear.
You
but
sure
that
they could write a check? That would be very helpful.
You could write a check. They said, we're going to polar plunge and we're going to do this thing. And I was like, yeah, okay, great. And I realized, like, it's record-breaking cold.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. What was the temperature that
It was 26, but Lake Michigan is not a warm body of water to begin with. No, it is not.
You should have done some research.
So I was like, all right. I started walking down the thing and I get there. And it's fine, but the moment I came out of the water, it does feel like you can't breathe. It's so damn cold. It's really, really cold. But if you look at the photos, I'm smiling like, hey, baby, it's Brizzy.
This is great.
I'm playing with the house's money. Come on. Who wants to come back to my place? But really, I was inside, I was freezing. I was wondering, is this where it all stops? I'm glad there was bagpipers who walked me into the water because we could just turn this into a funeral here at the same time. The Celtic women could show up.
Vince Vaughn is here again.
And respect me in song.
That's right.
Again, the film
who doesn't want to be respected in song?
We all do.
Sure. Unfinished Business is the name of the movie, opening up everywhere on Friday. And by the way, Vince is getting his hand and footprint in the cement out in front of the TCL Chinese Theater this morning at 11 o'clock.
Wow.
It is open to the public for folks who want to come down. That's a rite of passage for an actor right there, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely fun to be included, you know. It'll be fun. Favreau's going to introduce me, so I look forward to it.
11 o'clock today if you want to come down and see Vince Vaughn again right in front of the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood. All right, a quick break. Come back one more with our friend Vince Vaughn when we return right after this on K-Rock. From this weekend's hilarious movie, Unfinished Business, Vince Vaughn in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go see the movie, folks. We've all seen it. It's very, very funny. And look for Vince this morning at 11 o'clock out in front of the TCL Chinese Theater getting his hand and footprint ceremony. By the way, speaking of the movie, I know you've been doing a ton of press, bunch of interviews, and we really appreciate you coming by here today, Vince. You also did something a little unusual for publicity. Tell us about the stock photos that you and the cast shot.
You know, I just found out about those. I don't remember doing a shoot for those, but they released these photos where I guess people in offices can look like they're part of an office meeting with Tom Wilkinson and Dave Franco and myself. It looks kind of goofy and funny. But I didn't know that they were doing that. That was news to me. I think it just came out the last couple days.
Was someone wearing a hidden camera and you didn't know you were being shot?
I don't know if they just were able to take images either from film or from still photos and create that. But there wasn't a photo shoot per se of us sitting around in kind of the office.
Don't you love knowing that in some company's introduction manual, in 100 years, your photos are going to be up there? Nobody's going to have any idea who you are. You're just going to be stock photos.
You know, I thought you were going to go darker. I started to think of things that they could be doing to the photos. You know, I thought you made me think that you're right. There's probably people doing all kinds of different stuff to those photos.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a weird angle to take. It's a weird way to go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a kind of a strange thing, but it's out there, and do what you want with them. That's your choice.
All right. New business, Vince.
Yes.
You're going to television.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing True Detective, which, you know, I'm really excited about. What I like about it is it's kind of, you know, it's just one – it's eight episodes, so it's a complete story. There's no continuation of it. It's not a series. It's you know, its own kind of long story in that format. And I was really blown away with the first one that they did.
It was amazing.
And it's the same writer, same show creator. And what's awesome about this, it all takes place in L.A. So it's an L.A.-based crime story. And he always does a good job, I think, of getting into different worlds and different cultures and kind of things that are going on. So it's kind of interesting that way. And then the characters are all really, you know, complicated, which as an actor makes it really fun.
Is this just a long play for you to get a Lincoln commercial? Is that where you're heading for here?
No, I have not had any of those negotiations.
yet.
Yes,
how long has it been since you've been on a TV series?
You know, it's been a while.
Have you ever been on a TV series?
Younger, of
besides
course.
Besides as a guest actor, I mean.
No, younger, of course. I was a big deal. I remember I did China Beach. Remember that one?
Sure. Oh, no kidding.
Dana Delaney.
I had a couple lines and you found me dead.
Sex in the City.
I showed up on that. Some after school specials.
The more you know.
I did after school specials.
You know what? My first gig ever was an ABC after school special.
Teenage gambling.
That was my issue.
What was yours?
Which, by the way, is what's the problem? You know what I mean? I don't know why you're tackling that. I want you kids out there. I want you taking a shot. You know what I mean? Maybe you lose, maybe you win, but you're living.
What was your after school special?
I did all of them. You know, it's almost like why Favreau and Swingers wrote the scene talking about the audition for the after school special. But one was, let's see, unprotected sex, I think, was an issue.
Sure.
Now, you were for or against it?
In the show, yes. I think my character was pro unprotected sex.
Okay, all right, good.
And then let's see, what else did we tackle?
Me and
Peter Billingsley, who's been a good friend for a long time. It's actually where I met Peter, and we were tackling the issue of steroids, and we were taking it head on. We were not pulling punches and dealing with steroids. Guys. I'm not gonna take a backstep to anyone on this issue. But anyway, Peter Billingsley was an academic, and then Nicole Eggert was a new girl in town, and sure. He fancied her.
Right.
And she made a comment about sports, and so he said, I better get involved in some sports. What better way than shooting up some roids and joining the track team?
Sure. And that's a beefy for the track team.
That's right. So yeah. Peter Billingsley decided his character, of course. I don't want to blur lines.
Right.
That pumping some roids in his veins on a daily basis and keeping it secret for those extra seconds on the track team might be the way to Nicole's heart.
That sounds awesome.
And then I was his friend who was kind of a jock, and I found out, and I liked him for who he was. You guys
sure,
know that.
Sure.
And I didn't know why he was doing this, and he asked me to keep this dirty secret just till after the race.
What'd you do?
Well, I kept the secret, although I was concerned. And then guess who collapsed?
No.
You collapsed?
No, he collapsed. Oh. He's the
collapsed.
One running the race.
What are you thinking of steroids?
He collapsed.
Kevin, come on.
He collapsed right before the finish line.
How
which,
guilty did you feel?
Well, I didn't feel great about it in character. And then that set up a beautiful 7-minute monologue where a doctor got to tell everyone listening the downfalls of steroids. So you came for the fun and you ended up learning something. Don't shoot needles in your arm to run track.
Right.
Yeah, the heartbreaking thing of this story was she would have liked him anyway. Can you believe it?
No.
It's like Gift of the Magi, that short story.
If he only knew that.
He had her at hello. He had her at a high, and then he ran this way.
Here's the CBS School Break Special is what it's called. Season 8, Episode 1, called The Fourth Man. Vince, you remember that?
That was it.
Remember what your character's name was, Vince?
That I don't remember.
The CBS School Break Special?
I've never heard of that.
That's the low-rent version of the ABC After School Special.
Don't you pee on my fire hydrant.
You were Steve Guarino.
That's right.
Steve Guarino, wanting to seek his father's approval, a high school student starts using steroids to make the track team, but soon these drugs start to take a toll on his body.
You know what? I think if you would have read that right off the bat, then people wouldn't have had to sit through my sloppy explanation of it, because you just said it exactly correct, sir.
No, it was beautiful. Please tell me it's online. I have to see this.
It might be findable. Adrienne Barbeau, she dazzled in that. She was in that.
All right.
And it was a powerful, it was a moving one. Get a Kleenex box out for that one, guys, because you're going to see some friendships taken right to the limit.
Oh, I thought it was for Adrienne Barbeau.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
It's a whole different reason.
It's very different.
Don't you dare put your eyes on that unless you got some tissues, guys. We're gonna test the boundaries of friendship.
I think the bookends of your phenomenal 25-year career are going to be the CBS After School Special right there, and then Unfinished Business. I think that's the 1-2 punch you'll be remembered for right there.
Is he done after Unfinished Business?
No, but I just think at 25 years, I think this is a nice place to take a break and reevaluate. And I think we've just done two great things, and those are the two we're talking about.
A little Flugenschlagen at this point.
That's right. Flugenschlagen.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, listen, we know you got to walk out the door. You got a very busy day. Have fun down there with the hands in the footprint.
This is always my favorite place to come. I love your guys' show, so thanks for having me, and we'll see you down the road.
Sounds great, Vince. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Should have asked Vince Vaughn to play on April Foolishness, by the way. He's one of the funniest people in the world, isn't he?
He's the best.
Didn't he do stand-up? Remember when he did? He went out and he did that comedy traveling circus or whatever it was with a bunch of comedians?
Yes, like Cowboy something or a movie.
Yeah, it was a movie, right? It was a documentary about the
He made a documentary tour. About the tour. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Funny guy. Speaking of foolishness, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015 is happening 1 month from today, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets going on sale this Friday at noon. If you'd like to win some and see Tenacious D, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams with house music by DJ Mike Rum, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. But you got to earn them. Kevin, what are we looking for this hour?
This is Joe Garoki.
Woo!
So you call us and you tell us a joke. Now, a lot of times this doesn't go well.
Then what happens? What happens after that?
We pick the best one and they get tickets. Hilarity ensues.
So make us laugh. We'll give you tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015 before they even go on sale. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Sounds effing dicey if you ask me. We were here with Vince Vaughn moments ago just talking about the brothers Gallagher. And Liam is in the news. He was fined $5,000 on Monday by a judge in Manhattan, according to the New York Daily News. It's because Liam, once again, did not show up for a child support hearing. That's a shock.
Wow.
The child is a 2-year-old named Gemma, whose mother is a freelance reporter named Lisa Gorbani. And Liam is paying her $5,000 a month in child support since Gemma was born, but her lawyer thinks he should pay more. So there was a hearing that was supposed to happen, and Liam just chose, once again, not to show up. So he got fined by the court $5,000. The case will go to trial later this month. Look, I know, I understand relationships turn sour and stuff like that, but when it comes to your kids, I'm not saying you have to give them all the money they ask for and stuff, but yeah, I think you should attend the hearings and, you know, do due diligence and all.
Yeah, that's a little ugly.
I was surprised to see that Metallica is doing something special for Record Store Day on April the 18th. First of all, I was surprised that Record Store Day is still a thing, but they're doing it on April the 18th.
Open up a blog.
The band is reissuing a 7-track cassette demo called No Life Till Leather from 1982. So for you Metallica completists, you can pick that up. Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Oprah Winfrey was supposed to be on Broadway. She's canceled her plans to star on Broadway. Says she was all set to be in a revival of a play called Night Mother, but changed her mind because the play is, and I quote, too depressing. Maybe you should have read it before you decided to sign on to be on Broadway starring in it. Oprah was going to star as a mother who tries and fails to talk her daughter out of committing suicide. Oprah said, I just didn't want to be in the space of a suicide for every night for 6 months. I'd like something with a happier ending.
I can see that, but you would think that she would have thought of that before she signed.
Heads are going to roll. Someone in the Oprah camp did not tell her what that play was about. Why do I pay you people? Suicide.
Oprah, Noprah.
Indeed. And with all the talk about Leonard Nimoy's passing, Star Trek, of course, has been in a resurgence. About 50 years since it premiered. This email came to us from Kent Grigsby, one of our listeners. Ralph, it's been 50 years since Star Trek premiered and has become a huge part of pop culture. All the news of Leonard Nimoy's passing and all the recent news about George Takei and Bill Shatner makes one realize that all of the original crew of the Enterprise is getting up there. I love them all, but since James Doohan and Leonard Nimoy are no longer with us, it got to thinking that I'm really missing Spock and Scotty.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Could you begin it out?
I'm really missing Spock and Scotty. I'm really missing Spock and Scotty.
What was that?
I'm really missing Spock and Scotty.
What was that?
Yeah, that was pretty sweet, Ken Grigsby. That's some sweet-ass email right there.
Just picture somebody.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
No, you know, Lenny.
Just picture somebody at home trying to write craft an email that ends it rhymes with Bugatti.
Oh, spectacular.
Who would do that?
Who would do that indeed? I'll get to Allie's later on this.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing?
No.
Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara is 61 years old today. Patricia Heaton turns 57. Michael T. Williamson is 55.
Is he, forgive me, Ralph.
Yes!
Is he the Forrest Gump guy?
Yeah. Bubba Gump Shrimp.
He's that guy. Okay,
gotcha. He's that guy, yeah.
Shrimp Very salad, tough. Shrimp soup, shrimp sandwich.
That's right.
Fried shrimp, raw shrimp, shrimp stew. Shrimp, bubblegum, shrimp fudge.
And that was wasn't he the actor a few years ago who got arrested for murder and then he got acquitted, right?
Yes.
If I remember correctly?
That is all correct,
yeah.
Bean. You are an expert in all things Michael T. Williamson.
Well, I just want to make sure I was thinking of the right guy.
Steven Weber. He was on Wings.
What a great show. What a great show.
He's 54 years old today. I'm trying to find the tape. Someone reminded me, sent me an email that there's an episode of Family Guy where Quagmire is sitting with Peter and Joe and Cleveland at their bar. At the Drunken Clam,
mm-hmm.
And Wings comes up, and Quagmire's furious because no one remembers the show Wings, and he goes on a long tirade explaining them exactly what Wings is about. And it's like, nah, I don't remember that. Like, no one remembers the show Wings. I gotta find that tape. Lemonhead singer Evan Dando is 48 years old today, and former LA Galaxy player quitter Landon Donovan is 33
retired.
Years old. Yeah, he quit. 33 years old. Oh, I can't fall down anymore. I'm 33. Quitter Landon Donovan is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jeez, Allie, take an ice water shower or something. Calm down, girl.
Yeah, she's pretty upset about Vince Vaughn being the perfect human
legitimately
being.
Legitimately made me angry when he left.
Because he's so awesome?
Because there aren't men like that that are that quick, that charming, that he was everything.
I'd like to point out that Kevin and Bean, that's us, I'm speaking about us in the third person.
I like
we meet a lot of incredibly awesome hot chicks. You don't see us falling all over ourselves raving about how great. Oh,
no.
Wait a minute. I guess
no,
we do
you
that
guys
every,
really
all the
keep
time.
That to yourself.
She does, actually.
Hey, Friday at noon, tickets going on sale for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015. This is our seventh year, by the way. This year we're going to be at the Shrine on Saturday, April 4th. It's a tremendous lineup. Tenacious D, Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Slesker, Brad Williams. House music by Mike Realm. Tickets are on sale Friday noon with proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai. Nick, you great charities. We want you to win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve, with a little game that we like to call Jokeroki.
It's time for Jokeroki. It's going to be really fun. It's time for Jokeroki. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, be funny. Don't be dumb. Time for Jokeroki. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take it to April Fool's, Mr. C. So come on, be funny and don't be so dumb. And then you'll go see comedy.
Man, it's tough to tell jokes well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost impossible. That's why we admire comedians so much, because you try to tell a joke, you go, two guys walk into a bar, no, there's a bear, oh, it wasn't a bar, you've already lost everybody.
Wait, it was a Pope and a regular guy,
right.
And then there was the bear, oh, now I've lost the
thread.
Oh, let me
back up.
So we're going to give you a chance to try to tell a joke to win your way into Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015 at 1-800-520-1067. Any particular kind of joke we're asking for here, any kind of criteria we need, or just whatever's funny, right?
Just whatever's funny, yeah.
All right, what who's up first?
Let's start with Leo and Downey. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys. Joke is, how do Mexicans cut their pizza?
How do Mexicans cut their pizza?
With Little Caesars, Holmes.
All right.
Oh, Caesar. Oh, Caesar. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
all right, hang on. You're
okay.
In the drawing. Good delivery, too, by the way. I got to give it up for that.
Yeah. Well, everyone's in the drawing, right? Well, I'm not sure.
I think you could be eliminated depending on how bad your joke is.
Steve and Azusa, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
All right, here we go. What did one saggy boob say to the other saggy boob?
Allie, you should know this one.
That's life.
We better get some support before people think we're nuts.
All right.
Okay, all right.
Because.
Thank you. I like it.
They're sagging. Let's go to Tony in Corona. Hi, Tony.
Man, that saggy boob joke is pretty strong.
Wait. Did you say pretty strong?
I don't know.
I liked cutting the pizza with the Little Caesars, too. I liked it. So far, so good. Let's hear what you got, Tony.
All right. What has more lives than a cat?
What has more lives than a cat? What?
That'd be a frog, because it croaks every night.
Tony.
Listen to him laugh. You don't get to laugh at that. Is he in the drawing or no?
Let's put him in the drawing.
Right.
And
he thought the saggy boobs was strong.
Yeah, he did. That should have really tipped us off there.
And Tony, don't forget to resubscribe to Highlights Magazine when you get off the phone.
All right, let's go to Steven in Palmdale. Hi, Steven.
What it do, nephews?
Welcome to Jokeroki.
What it do, new boo?
Well played.
All right, what's your joke, sir?
All right, my joke is, what do you call a cholo with one leg shorter than the other?
I don't know.
One leg shorter than the other. What?
Not even, Holmes.
All right, I sort of like that one.
All right, thank you, Stephen. Let's go to Brian now, Huntington Beach, line 5, please. He's up next on Jokeroki, trying to win tickets for April Foolishness 2015.
Hey, Brian.
Morning, guys.
Hi. What's your joke?
What's the difference between snowmen and snow women?
Difference between snowmen and snow women. Don't know.
Snowballs.
No. Brian, wow. Brian.
So that guy said, I'm going to call a radio show, and I'm going to win tickets to a comedy festival.
And he might.
With
snowballs.
Rudy in Orange. Hi.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, this one is fun and clean, and you could tell the whole family.
All right.
What kind of flower do you have between your nose and your chin?
What kind of flower do you have between your nose? I feel like I should be able to crack this one, but I'm not coming up with it.
Tulips.
But you don't have to tell it to your family, though, right? You can know that joke and keep it to yourself, right?
Oh, man. There's a reason we don't do this contest, right?
Yeah.
Letty in Reseda.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Letty. Good luck.
Why can't you give
Elsa from Frozen, a balloon.
Ooh, doing some topical humor, you guys.
Elsa from Frozen, a balloon.
A balloon. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Because she would let it go.
Okay.
Because that's a song, Let It Go. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I liked it, Letting Go.
All right, thank you. I think if I were five, I would be dying right now. All right, one more contestant, then we got to pick.
Dolores in Torrance, hi.
Hi, this joke is for my first graders.
Excellent.
What do you call a fish with no eye?
A fish with no eye.
What?
Tell us.
See? Nope. See, because it's FSH, Bean.
I see.
Because there's no eye.
Got it, Dolores. Thank you so much. Wow. All right. Started off strong, then kind of fell off a cliff. If I'm picking you guys, I think I'm going with not even Holmes. I think I'm going with Stephen in Palmdale. I think he's my man.
I think that was the funniest as well.
That's, what do you call a cholo with one leg shorter than the other? Allie, you got any problem with Steven?
I do not.
Let's bring Steven on the line.
What do you do, everybody? Thanks very much.
I can't. Steven, please be our guest at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. See Tenacious D, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Slesker, and Brad Williams. Thank you, sir.
I guess I'll swing by, you know.
All right, good to hear. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for playing Jokaroki, even though some of you were late.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. Ralph Garman steps in. What's going on?
Before I beat you, let me treat you to the premiere of The Gunman.
Yay!
Kids love guns.
They do, and they love Sean Penn being all dangerous, and Idris Elba and Javier Bardem. How great's Javier Bardem, by the way?
Great. How great are all three of those actors you just mentioned?
Penn in this film plays a former Special Forces soldier and military contractor suffering from PTSD.
We have a winner, believe it or
I
not.
I didn't even yet. He's trying to clear his name. He's on the run from London to Barcelona. It looks awesome. The Gunman's in theaters everywhere on March the 20th. However, I've got passes to the premiere on March the 12th at the Regal Cinemas LA Live. Would you like to go? Of course you would. Give me a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through at that number get a pair of passes to the premiere of The Gunman. All right, maybe we gave Kevin a little bit of a hard time because he did not know one of today's celebrity birthdays, Steven Weber. Steven Weber, of course, is a great actor. He's been in a ton of stuff. He was in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. I thought he was great on that.
I recognize his face.
He's a talented actor. He's been in a ton of stuff, but he was... primarily known for his work on the TV series Wings, the sitcom that ran for 10 seasons on NBC. Wings was a huge hit. Kevin, nothing. Drew a blank.
Just
zip. No wings ever penetrated that skull.
It was on every week of the 1990s.
Yes.
Kevin remembers none of them.
And it was also in heavy rotation on TBS and reruns. It's everywhere constantly. Mm. Wings, wings, wings.
Yeah, no.
We mocked Kevin for being...
Kevin.
Ignorant about the Wings television program. Or Kevin.
Well, he's got the writer syndrome.
He does have writer syndrome. However, someone reminded me that they did a similar bit on Family Guy about the fact that Quagmire loved Wings and none of his friends seemed to be able to remember it. It made him very, very upset. Here's a clip from that show.
What we need out there now is another Tim Daly.
Who's Tim Daly?
I don't even know who that is.
From Wings?
Nope.
Tim Daly. He was on Wings. What? No, nobody here watched Wings.
Is that the one where there's a guy and he's like he's a pilot or something?
There's two guys. They're brothers and they're both pilots.
Yeah, wasn't there a fat guy with a mustache?
That was Roy. He's hilarious.
Was this a cartoon?
No. It took place in an airport. The thing was on for 10 years. And the funny repair guy was Lowell. It made Tony Shalhoub's career.
Oh, the tennis player?
Yeah, you know what? Screw you guys. I don't even know you. Crazy people living under a rat don't know Wings. Love Wings.
Love Wings.
So high quality on that.
Mike Myers on our side. That was the only clip we could find, man.
It's a video camera from across the room.
it's the only version we could find.
All right.
So you're not alone, Kevin.
Thank
That's
you.
The whole point. Is that there are other people out there who don't know Wings. And they're dumb cartoon characters.
Okay. I'll take it.
Chris Brown is allegedly a father. That can't be good for anybody, right? TMZ reports he has a 9-month-old baby girl with a 31-year-old former model by the name of Nia. TMZ is reporting that the pair are not romantically involved. No, they just banged it out. But apparently they are on very good terms And Chris Brown is very happy about being a dad, but there's no formal child support in place. And, you know, Chris doesn't have to spend any time with it or anything.
Yeah.
He's very happy to be that kind of dad.
Sure.
The dad doesn't have to pay anything or spend any time with the child.
It's probably better for the child.
Yeah, perhaps in the long run. Did you hear about the ban on selfie sticks? That's what Kevin calls his penis. But the selfie stick, if you're not familiar with it, is that long rod that the telescopes out and you put your phone at the end of it and you hold it at a distance. That way you can take more pictures of yourself, because that's what we need, more people taking pictures of themselves.
That's true. We do need more of that.
They're starting to ban them now.
How come?
Well, here's why. People are using them inside museums, like New York City's Metropolitan Museum of Art, and they're putting them through paintings.
Oh, ouch.
What?
Yeah. Let me take a picture of myself. I'm going to hold this long, pointy stick out at a distance away. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry, I just punctured your Renoir.
Oof.
So now the Smithsonian Institute has just added itself to the list of museums where you can't use a selfie stick.
That seems, I mean, that seems smart for the same reason you wouldn't want somebody to open an umbrella up in
absolutely,
front of a painting.
Absolutely, yes. People at the Smithsonian were trying to take selfies with a T-Rex dinosaur and poking the bones, and the bones are falling all over the place. Stop it, people! Dumb. Dumb people.
Don't know wings.
Stupid people. Don't have love wings!
I hear that those selfie sticks are just a sensation in places like Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, everybody owns one. It's just, it's crazy.
I don't understand how hard they are to use, though. The story is baffling to me because it seems pretty simple. You just put it out.
But if you're extending something that's 3 feet long and you're keeping it at arm's length,
but you
and
know
you're not aware of where you're going, you turn or something like that. Look at you. Oh, I know how to do everything. You'd be the first guy who would puncture a Picasso with a long stick and at a museum.
I would be aware of the fact that I'm in a museum and there are paintings around.
That's true. Your awareness level is shocking. It's off the charts.
Shut up, Ralph.
This is like if you're carrying a ladder through your house or a chair or something like that. Sometimes it's easy to kind of misjudge as you turn a corner and you clip something.
Not for me.
When you're dealing with things that are millions of dollars, why take that risk?
I measure everything around me to know where I am in conjunction.
Shut up, Bean.
And sad news if you're a fan of Garfunkel and Oates. The IFC cable network has announced they're canceling the show after one season. Ricky Lindholm and Kate Micucci?
Yep.
Very talented.
They were Garfunkel. They're great.
I like
them. Funny ladies, great music, very funny stuff, but the show will not be back. So I'm sure they'll be back working again in some other incarnation.
Yeah, they had a career long before this TV series. I'm sure they'll be fine.
I agree.
Kate has a fun show called Playing with Micucci.
What the what?
Yep. It's a really funny musical show.
Playing with Micucci.
It's her last name.
Yes, it is. I didn't think you were talking about something else.
No.
Not me. It's not my way.
You wouldn't think that way.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Catherine O'Hara is 61 years old today. Actress Patricia Heaton is 57. Michael T. Williamson turns 55 years old. Steven Weber turns 54. He was on Wings.
Not heard of that.
Evan Dando, singer for the Lemonheads, is 48 years old. And former LA Galaxy player until he quit. Because he's a quitter. Landon Donovan.
He's sure not helping the team on their game Friday, is he, Kevin? Sure kind of letting them go out there and do it all by themselves.
Yeah. Whatever you guys want to do.
Retired, if that's
what
you're
fine. No, I'll be over here. Landon Donovan, quitter. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Kevin Smith in studio. We are going to talk sports with Jim Rome. We have Dr. Drew on the program, as we do on Thursdays. And we're going to talk to Ronda Rousey about her 14-second fight.
Gosh, she must be exhausted.
That was just one of the most insane things I've ever seen. I was playing poker the other night, and a guy said, I watched the entire fight on Instagram.
Yep.
It's not a fight, it's a line.
Yeah, exactly. It's less than 15 seconds.
For the last two fights she's had in the last 12 months, she's worked a total of 30 seconds.
In the ring, sure.
16 and 14.
Yeah.
That's
great stuff.
Good work if you can get it.
We're going to talk to her tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.